we can see the numbers on Bitcoin Savings Plan growing, and we're like, oh, you guys, your company growing, you're hiring more. They're like, no, actually, you know, like as a result of water cooler talk, people are just asking to switch over to the Bitcoin plan and forgoing any of the tax deferrals. It's not, they would just rather have the Bitcoin, which is exactly what we love to hear. Like so it's been really cool. And this is part of where I am just so bullish on the idea, because the desirable thing, the thing that people will want, I believe, is Bitcoin. And it's just a matter of getting some exposure.
What if your job could help you secure your financial future in a way you've never imagined? In this episode, Scott Dedos, co-founder and co-CEO of Block Rewards, shares how he's pioneering a Bitcoin-based employee benefits platform. Learn about their Bitcoin savings plan, how it's transforming compensation, and Scott's advice for Bitcoin entrepreneurs. Tune in and rethink work and wealth. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you enjoy the content, please remember to subscribe, comment, and share, as this all helps us grow. Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more. Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Today, we welcome Scott Dedos, a co-founder of Block Rewards, author, and host of a podcast. Scott, first of all, welcome. We're very excited to get into today's conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here, guys.
Scott, you're focused at Block Rewards, the company you started a couple years back, on compensation and benefits and how Bitcoin can integrate into that employer-employee relationship. We want to get into all of the aspects of the business, of course, and why you decided to start it. But as a starting point, can we get some insight into who you are before Block Rewards and your Bitcoin journey?
My Bitcoin origin story: had spent the majority of my career working in compensation and rewards. When this all started for me in 2020, I had been in private consulting doing a lot of work with pensions and total rewards. So I was deeply immersed in that world, working with small, medium-sized businesses and even some national brands across the Canadian marketplace. And then 2020 happened. And in Canada, the Canadian government really went with a very strong interventionist money creation spending strategy to keep the country shut down. And I guess for that time in my industry, early to the party, starting to wonder about inflation and the effects of money printing as we unroll these programs that we're going to pay employees to stay home and pay the businesses to stay closed and just keep things running. It was a really unprecedented time that caused me some pause. And I actually wasn't interested in Bitcoin. I started, I didn't come from a background of economics or finance. I was a history student in university. So I did know something about the history of money and global events. But I needed some background. So I started ordering books from Amazon, you know, university economics textbooks. And eventually I was suggested The Price of Tomorrow, which isn't actually explicitly a Bitcoin book. So I wasn't ever looking for Bitcoin. I read that book and then I immediately read it again. And that was like a massive right turn for me, right in the middle of lockdown, which up here lasted for months. And at that point, then I started just going deep down the rabbit hole, like any Bitcoin book I could get my hands on. Knut Svanholm, the Genesis book, the Block Size Wars. Like, I just couldn't believe, you know, how much there was, how much meat on the bone there was with the subject. And, you know, I think like with a lot of people who really have that 0-to-1 moment with Bitcoin, you then sort of immediately relate it to what you know the most about in your own life. So, you know, doctors get interested in how Bitcoin fixes medicine. And for me, I immediately started, you know, this journey started for me because I was worried about what money printing was going to do to fixed income markets and the 60-40 portfolio and the target date funds that we were selling to a lot of our employers that were trying to just position their employees to plan for the future with certainty. And, you know, I think like a lot of ideas that mature over time as you understand them better, my initial reaction was, oh, like there's got to be an opportunity here to create some kind of a product for employers that's Bitcoin backed, that might be some kind of pension insurance, so that we may be able to, you know, protect a downside risk against some kind of like bond market collapse. You know, like I said, it took me a long time to understand it better. And I, as I've gone deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, my opinions have evolved a lot. And today I really feel like Bitcoin is a form of money that sort of recombines, you know, the separation of medium of exchange and store of value that really happened as gold and the relationship to paper money was severed. So there are an unlimited number of potential applications for Bitcoin in the employment relationship, and it's much, much more vast than simply thinking about insuring a pension fund. So to move the story forward, I was like a lot of people. Then I had a hard time existing in my old world, and I just really wanted to get involved in this space. I sold my my pension clients and sort of started trying to figure out what was next. And I got connected to Adam O'Brien, who's CEO at a Canadian publicly traded Bitcoin company called Bitcoin Well. And they were running a sort of very rudimentary version of what is Bitcoin Savings Plan, which is our first launch product. Adam had the same idea. You know, there is a lot of opportunity and not a lot of great tools for paying people in Bitcoin or helping employees save in Bitcoin. So they had built something, and they were running it for a few of the customers who had come to them asking for a solution like this. Bitcoin Well is more of a Bitcoin exchange and an ATM company. So it was pretty outside the scope of their, you know, of their business. And I came on, you know, it seemed like a match made in heaven. I had this background in understanding how employers think about these kinds of products and how they make decisions around how they allocate budgets and roll them out to their employee populations. And then the FTX crash happened, and no companies wanted to talk about Bitcoin to their employees. So after a few months of really slugging it out, Adam decided that they were going to mothball that product. And so we had a conversation about it. And I had felt, you know, for some time that what was really required for this thing to be successful was a company that lives only in the world of the mind of the employer, building products for the employer and prepared to service them in the way that employers would be expecting of similar products that they would find in payroll or HR or you know, group savings. And so that was then the next iteration. I kind of bought the IP from Block Rewards and incorporated the company and got started trying to figure out what was next. I'd been self-employed in the consulting space. So I'd built a practice, but I hadn't built a business, and they're very different. You know, it's like, so I had this deep industry understanding, and I felt like I was starting to really, you know, comprehend Bitcoin much better. And then I had this really serendipitous interaction with a friend of a friend who then became my co-founder, Josh Curlett. And, Josh had, is a many times founder who had an exit with an oilfield services company that had grown over 100 million market cap. And his COVID moment was moving back to the town that his wife grew up in, which is where I live. And so we got connected, having coffees. He didn't know anything about Bitcoin, and I didn't really understand much about his background. And the two of us just kind of came together. I orange-pilled him accidentally, and all of a sudden he's talking about Bitcoin as it happens. And he was learning about what was, you know, what was then like the super early days of Block Rewards, and offered to come on and bring in his expertise and see what we could really make this thing together. And so, you know, the two of us together has been really it's a match made in heaven, because of the experience and expertise that he brings to the table has created us for an opportunity to build this in a way where we have a management team that's actually done it, you know, like scaling a business to that size You know, there's learnings that you just can't know what you do. If you don't, if you haven't done it, you don't know what you don't know. And so we have someone at the helm who's really done it more than once and done it to a very spectacular fashion. Yeah, so it's been a ride. You know, Josh came on and we started expanding the team, raising capital. We conducted a seed round over the back half of last year, and here we are now. It was 3 weeks ago, first week of July, that we launched the enterprise version of Bitcoin Savings Plan after all of that. And so exciting days for the company.
Yeah. And I'd like to drill down a little bit more about what exactly Block Rewards offers to clients and what the size of your client is. Typically, you'd mentioned that as opposed to Bitcoin Well, you really needed a product that speaks to these larger companies and how they deal with employee compensation. And I do understand that. How does your product work? I mean, are you integrated into the compensation system of the actual employer, or do you act as a middleman that they funnel some of the compensation to you? Or maybe you could just describe a little bit about what the services are that you offer.
Yeah, for sure. The product that we have live today, called Bitcoin Savings Plan, is an enterprise grade software that enables employees to convert some of their net pay into Bitcoin through a payroll deduction, and allows an employer to give employees Bitcoin either as a perk or a reward, or to create some kind of a matching program that might mirror an existing savings plan that they're already offering, or just something that they want to roll out to be different. And I think, you know, just to kind of stop there for a second, you know, there's so much opportunity for Bitcoin to just be the most exciting thing an employer could offer in the workplace. And that was kind of like after I shifted from the idea that Bitcoin was going to be pension insurance to the idea that it's the most desirable form of money that's ever existed. I mean, that's essentially rocket fuel if you're thinking about a tool for recruitment and retention for companies that are early to understand how it could benefit the things a company spends so much time and energy trying to pinpoint where they should spend and allocate this money to have a maximum impact. And, you know, great companies care a lot about their staff. And that's why these things happen, right? It's like they want to create the feeling that their employees know that so that they are able to keep those great people and find new ones out in the hiring market. And so there's just so much natural alignment with Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is the most important thing an employer can understand. And it is an absolute game changer for companies that figure out this earlier. You know, like, we're in this very early stage of companies starting to understand why it would be beneficial for them to own Bitcoin as a corporate asset. And like, I just can't imagine that it's going to be that much longer for those companies to understand that if it's beneficial for the company to be saving some Bitcoin, that it probably makes sense for their key people or all of their people to be doing the same. So, you know, we're in that gradually and then suddenly moment. Back to your question. The product works today it's a platform, a web-based platform, sort of bank-grade security that is its own experience. But we intend over time for this thing to talk to all of the HR and payroll softwares that anybody would need to use, so that the experience can be accessed in a number of different ways. Bitcoin Savings Plan looks like the kinds of softwares that the administrators of HR and payroll are used to seeing. And the employee experience on the other side looks like the kind of tools that employees are used to seeing when they are in a group savings plan or a group benefit website. You know, we're laying out the information in that way. And what we've really tried to do is solve the problem of making this thing accessible and feeling safe for an employee of any knowledge or level of comfort. I think that for people who want to find a way to buy Bitcoin, You know, in North America, there's lots of ways to do that. But that's kind of like 2 or 5% of the population. You know, that it's really not, and I don't think it's anywhere near as high as the numbers as are suggested, where you see even like, I think there was a stat in Canada say that 1 in 7 people own some Bitcoin. And I can guarantee that in my personal life traveling, if I were to ask everybody I know, there's no way that 1 out of 7 would say they have a wallet. So we wanted to build something that a company with 10,000 or 50,000 employees could roll out to their employee population, who most of them don't know anything about how to do this, and they could participate feeling like it's safe because their employer is putting it forward for them, and it's creating for them something that is different and other employers aren't doing. And this is sort of a North Star for us. You know, I think that going back to Bitcoin Well, the original product that what we were running and what we have been running with live customers since the company was incepted was a non-custodial version that sort of works, you know, like there's, I think, the way that most of these work. And the challenge there is, for us, again, is how does this thing work in a way that could be rolled out en masse to a company of 5 employees or 50 employees or 5,000 employees, assuming that only a small handful of them would really know what to do if they had to do everything themselves. So what we have built now that's live is an onboarding and enrollment stream that also really works the way a large employer would expect for any other product that like this that they were trying to have their employees participating in mass. And so we can absolutely accept a massive onboarding and create an experience where administrators understand how many of their employees are at different stages of enrollment. You know, we have different analytics around the dashboards to help companies think about the go live process. And one place that we're going that is going to be really different and exciting is education. And I think that another problem to solve for employers is supporting them along the journey. And this is how I was thinking about why a company needs to be committed to living and breathing in this space, is that it can be hard for companies to think about rolling out traditional financial products to their employee populations that people have some basic understanding of. And this is really what I've been doing for most of my career. And knowing that, thinking about the lift involved in getting people comfortable with the idea of converting some of their paycheck or receiving some of their employer rewards in Bitcoin is a big challenge in front of us. And to make that happen, this is where we got connected to Seb Bunny, who is also on our team. And Seb is, in my opinion, one of the world's leading Bitcoin educators. We got connected to Seb because he had built a website called Looking Glass Education with Daz Bay and the help of Greg Foss and some others, James Lavish. And Looking Glass was something we're just very interested in, the notion of, like, you know, could Looking Glass exist inside Block Rewards? Like, how are we, you know, we want to be able to tell companies that are coming on board with us that we're going to be able to help them successfully bring their employee population along for the ride. And so that's something that we are near to launch now. And I think that when that happens, Seb's overseeing the design of some really cool interactive educational material where employees are going to be able to do more than just interact with Bitcoin. And employers are going to be able to understand how many of their employees are engaging and to what degree, and can there be different incentives associated with people learning about Bitcoin. And so it's, you know, maybe to put a bow on that idea, the tool today from a how does it work standpoint is pretty simple. You know, we take information from employers about what the deductions are, and we take an ACH or a pre-authorized withdrawal is what they're called in Canada. And we convert that money into Bitcoin and we deliver it to Bitcoin wallets for the employees on payday. And then, you know, but it's much bigger than that, because what we're really doing is creating the first tool that we think will be acceptable for companies to think about doing this in a way that feels supported and friendly and able to really meet their needs.
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River. River is a financial services company that allows you to purchase, sell, and transfer your Bitcoin all through a great suite of products, high security standards, and as of recent, even allowing you to earn a Bitcoin yield on your US dollar cash deposits. For a personalized onboarding experience, go to partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin.
So you act a little bit as the exchange. You're actually handling the purchase of the Bitcoin and the allocation into the different wallets, but on a non-custodial basis. So can you explain a little bit about that, or are there regulations involved with it? So does the company hold the Bitcoin on behalf of the wallets for the employees?
So the product is custodial now, and we've just launched the custodial version of the product. And this is kind of maybe to come back to that story. This was a big learning of ours. Trying to sell the non-custodial version of the product was operationally, in talking to leaders at companies of different sizes, this is just continually the thing that came up. And we'd love to be the hardcore sovereignty company. And we just sort of learned that that's not going to be our role in accomplishing this mission. Our product needs to be easy to use and safe and reliable. And so we partnered with a Canadian qualified custodian for our Canadian operations. That is Balance. Balance is custody some Bitcoin ETF bitcoins in Canadian Bitcoin ETFs, and among other things. So they've been a great partner for us. The wallets exist inside Block Rewards, and they've developed a really cool method for determining the ownership of the assets. And so even though it's custodial, the title of the assets is always held by the member. And so this is a model that we will replicate as we scale into different jurisdictions, where we'll just swap the backend partners out. You mentioned, yeah. So we have a liquidity providers where we source our Bitcoin from. And so Block Rewards is really a front-end platform that enables this to happen. And we intend to scale it into every country in the world as we grow. So I think there's a market for everybody to have access to this, depending on where they are. And the next market is the U.S., which we hope to be in later this year.
This is really exciting. I mean, I love this because I think it reaches a whole different Bitcoin potential user. And to your point, it's like a lot of people, one of the biggest confusions is, where do I buy it? How do I buy it? And you do hear the stories of the FTXs, but then it's like, well, what's the best way to buy? But when you're already involved with a large corporation, or you have a relationship with your company and your company is saying this is okay and you can hold it through us or through your thing, I think that just opens the door and makes it easier. I just think the user experience tools that are being built right now are really helping the adoption. So I love what you're doing in that regard.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a really cool, maybe if I could just tell a very quick story, something that happened along the way. It's the people you meet, right? And so we were, Josh and I had gone to Madeira for Atlantis last spring. It was an amazing event. And while we were there, we met someone who ended up coming on as an investor. He took some time to make his decision about participating in our seed round. And while those conversations were going on, he started having a friend join those meetings. And we were getting excited. We thought we were getting two investors for the price of one. This guy had great questions. He really seemed to understand payroll and HR software. And it turned out that he was a career, sort of a very high level person in the payroll and HR tech space. And he was managing the HR tech stack for one of Canada's largest clothing retailers. And we got to the end of these meetings, and he started asking us more pointed questions about how well we understood how the biggest companies in the world make decisions about purchasing software in the HR and payroll tech space, and what requirements we would need so that our software could be successfully ingested by those companies. And we had to pause because we didn't really have an answer for that question. And the answer turned out that he wanted to leave his role and join us to, he was so convinced by the vision and realized that this was really a key piece that we had missed. And so Jay Sexton became our chief product officer last summer. And this is sort of the part of the Block Rewards story and the secret sauce, I think, that is really exciting for investors is, you know, in addition to kind of having Josh as a co-CEO who has already built a business to a very large scale, we have this very unique person who there aren't tons of people floating around like him that understand the HR paytech space like Jay does. And so everything that is being built now inside is, you know, he's transplanted that knowledge into our organization.
Well, it sounds like it did work out to be a two for one in that meeting. Maybe not in the way you initially thought, but you guys have built an outstanding team. I mean, so important what you guys are working on, Scott. You know, I have a question a little bit more on the customer acquisition side and really kind of a curiosity of who are the early adopters of this type of product. I mean, what's the mix between both Bitcoin and non-Bitcoin companies? Are the executive teams already personally allocating to Bitcoin and see the importance, or are you educating as part of that? I mean, can you give us a little insight into what's the thought process for the customers who you're engaging with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that question. The easiest sales, for sure, are ones where an owner or a key executive is a Bitcoiner. And we actually have entirely different sales processes depending on the level of understanding in Bitcoin. So when it's someone who understands Bitcoin, we basically just have to show them the software tool and that's it. And then it's more of a conversation around, okay, so what does rollout look like, and operationally, how should we think about talking to our staff about this, and how are you guys going to support it? So predominantly our active customers today are scenarios like that, where there's a lot of conviction behind the leadership group, and many of their staff don't even know why they're doing it, but they're doing it, and it's worked out. Obviously, it's like our largest customer has been doing this going back to day one of Block Rewards. So that, you know, I don't know what the Bitcoin price was at that time, maybe like 30,000 Canadian. And so they have employees that might have saved, you know, $10,000 in that time. And today the fiat value of it is like 50 or 60. And there just isn't something else that could have done that. I mean, they could have had Bitcoin denominated fiat products that were registered, but nobody would do it. This is part of the issue, I think, that like, yeah, you can get a Bitcoin ETF inside your registered vehicle, but nobody is going to put 100% of their allocated capital into that fund. And if they did, they would be the Bitcoiner who's already buying Bitcoin anyways. So what our product does is really mass expose an employee population to the power of Bitcoin's really unprecedented compounding annual growth rate. Like, you don't have to wait that long. Like, if you were planning to stay with your employer anyways. And for those, you know, we have some crazy success stories now, because like that one where those employees will never leave that employer, because it has actually literally been a life-changing financial decision that took a lot of conviction on the part of the leadership to make. And so, yeah, so we're really, you know, starting, I would say, early, trying to connect to as many of those as possible. For the people who understand it and want to experience the same thing inside their company, you know, and I think, you know, another part of what Block Rewards is we're the company that can help you successfully do this with your staff. And this is something that is also, I think, as far as I know, we're the only company in the world that's really thinking about it in this way. So, So if you're listening and you're this sounds like you, we'd love to talk.
I have to ask this question, Scott. I mean, we're talking in July of 2025, which is kind of Bitcoin treasury summer for a lot of companies. Since you're already inside of these organizations, do you have any ability for the company itself to allocate a part of their profits or revenues into Bitcoin? Or is that something that you're thinking about? It just feels that the executives would be looking at their employees' wealth building, but thinking we should maybe think about implementing a treasury of our own.
Absolutely. It's a tiny adaptation for how Bitcoin savings plan works for employees. And we will have a custodial multi-sig option that is available to the company in the next very short while. And I completely agree. You know, so it'll work through the same process. And yeah, I think there's different ways to do this. And this is a space where there's lots of attention right now. You know, multi-sig, multi-institution, you know, convert at your point of sale terminals, lots of cool ideas. So yeah, but we'll have an option for companies that want to do this in a very simple way.
What are the early stats, if you can share any, as far as, you know, employee participation or engagement with this for the companies that are perhaps not Bitcoin companies, but are offering this, you know, in the more traditional, traditional world, let's say? How much engagement are they getting from their employees?
Great question. Participation just has a ton to do with sort of two factors. One, you know, if they were legacy customers in the non-custodial version, it's the size of the company. So smaller companies, we were able to really get involved and do some live sessions and get people set up with wallets so that we could get a higher participation rate. And I think that now that we've addressed that, we're going to see that really transition. But the more important stat is whether or not the employer is financially participating in the arrangement. So one way to have a Bitcoin savings plan is just to offer your staff the ability to convert some of their own net pay, which is still a benefit. Like people doing this, the employer is bearing the cost of the transactions. So like if they buy $100, they're getting $100 of Bitcoin, which is, you know, for people who understand, like this is not nothing. And in the Canadian market, like a product like that, I've never seen anything like it. So I actually don't know what's normal, but our participation rate on those companies is almost 100 because people are, you know, there's no reason to not participate. Then we have companies where there's an expectation of an employee contribution to get your match. And I would say the participation in those is around 60 or 70%, which is really high for in non-mandatory pensions. You know, when there's free fiat on the table, you won't get 100% participation often because a lot of people would just rather spend the money today. So it's a tricky problem to solve. We do have customers that offer a traditional registered plan, and then they offer exactly the same plan side by side if they just want to take this, like the matching and limits, and let their employees choose. And like it's been some really interesting studies because we have a couple that are, you know, big fans of what we're doing, and so they share information with us freely. We can see the numbers on Bitcoin Savings Plan growing, and we're like, oh, you guys, your company growing, you're hiring more. And like, no, actually, you know, like as a result of water cooler talk, people are just asking to switch over to the Bitcoin plan and forgoing any of the tax deferrals. Like they would just rather have the Bitcoin, which is exactly what we love to hear. Like so it's been really cool. And this is part of where I am just so bullish on the idea, because the desirable thing, the thing that people will want, I believe, is Bitcoin. And it's just a matter of getting some exposure. And while, you know, it doesn't even need to happen to everyone in the company, because people talk and they talk to each other, and everybody will know. I mean, I think it's getting to a place now where the price of Bitcoin is getting talked about daily on, it doesn't matter what news channel you watch. So people do understand that there's something happening. They are probably not watching it close enough, but it's becoming, you know, in just like, it's part of the zeitgeist of, you know, the cultural norms in the middle of the 2020s. And so this is part of why I think this is kind of like a right place at the right time thing. I know that actually I learned in Vegas that night we met that this idea, or an idea very similar to it, was pitched to Brian Armstrong in 2017. And kind of at that time, it was just impossible to know, like, how far away are we from this being something that big companies are going to seriously think about. And I guess you could say that in 2025, we still don't know, but it definitely feels a lot more real. And that is probably one of the most common questions we get from curious investors that are trying to understand our potential for success, is like, how far, okay, you know, so we have this, you know, we have something here, and how long until it becomes a normal thing that companies think about Bitcoin in their compensation and reward stack. I think it's like objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah, I agree. I just think you've seen so much pile on in companies starting to adopt it. And it's been a pleb-led movement up until now. And so, and I love that I just started thinking about the water cool comment that you made, because you could see it on the news all the time, but it's not going to mean anything to you. But if you see Jack next door, you know, that you're chatting, having a coffee together at work, and he talks about the impressive appreciation he's experienced, and it's like, I got to take another look at this plan. It's like we both have the same opportunity right in front of us, and we're coworkers, that, you know, you don't want to get left behind. And yeah, that's a powerful testament. So yeah, I love that. Scott, what about let's shift a little bit and just talk about your own team and your own company and how that looks. How does that operate? Are you remote, or are you all based in the same location in Canada? How are you? I know you've really talked about some incredible team members that you've added on since you started your journey, but what does your company look like?
Yeah, we are headquartered in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, which is where I've been living for the last long while. And there's five of us that work out of the office here, and then everyone else is remote. So our CTO is in San Francisco, and he's hired a dev team that works predominantly out of the Ukraine, which is kind of what he's done in different projects. And so we've got a really strong dev team. And then we've got a few people in Vancouver. Our director of marketing is Roger Huang, who wrote Wood Malahoe of Bitcoin and came, you know, he's been with Bitcoin Magazine. Roger, another sort of, as luck would have it, I had known Roger for some time, and he was a guest on the podcast. And it turns out that Roger's, you know, sort of by day world is that he's like a SaaS growth hacker marketer. And so we've all, you know, we've had a number of these really lucky, our entire team is Bitcoiners. And our CFO, Travis McDonald, hosts a Bitcoin for Accounting Twitter space every Saturday. And so that's really exciting. Travis is here with us in Kelowna. We've got a few people in Ontario, and that might be everybody. I think we're around 15 right now.
And you mentioned expanding into the U.S. How will that change the makeup of your team, or will you need some regulatory adjustments or tweaks to your offering in order to expand into this market?
That reminds me. Actually, starting today, our director of sales is based in Austin. And so we're really excited about that. Our first U.S. employee. There are some things that are different. You know, we're learning a lot about the regulatory space, and that's the reason why we're not in the U.S. already. For the most part, it's pretty similar. I mentioned, you know, I think the biggest hurdle for us has been selecting the back-end partners that are gonna work for us in the U.S. market. It's true in Canada and it's true in the U.S. We solve for companies an important reporting problem by turning their fiat into Bitcoin as a middleman, so that when an employer is going to pay their own staff out of their own Bitcoin, this is something that becomes all of a sudden kind of very complex and onerous. And I think this is a lot of the reason why we haven't seen companies really do this at scale so far. And so this is one example of something that our service solves, and it'll work essentially the same way in the US.
And on the business model side of things, Scott, I mean, how are you guys actually monetizing? What's your thought process there? And is that going to change going forward as you scale?
We're a Bitcoin company, but we are a SaaS company. So I think we're also the first Bitcoin SaaS product, which is really cool, because SaaS products are easy to value, and we have a really sound recurring revenue model that is based on a per employee per month seat fee, essentially. And as part of that, they're getting, you know, they're not just getting the Bitcoin transactions, but they're getting this educational content that we're creating with Seb, and a bunch of other things that will be, you know, sort of rolled out as the platform matures. But yeah, it's this predominantly this per employee per month fee that actually looks the same way the other products companies would be using now for their different employee rewards would look.
Yeah, which I mean, I think poises you guys for so much success, because from everything you've explained so far, you're from a kind of front end and experience perspective, doing everything that looks and feels familiar to any of these other, you know, HR and benefits providers. But you're just simply plugging in a better savings technology, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and even the branding, you know, we had some decisions to make early on about, you know, what does it feel like? What is the experience? And ultimately we landed on, you know, I'm a kid. I was born in 1980. You know, I'm the youngest one. So my siblings were kids of the 70s. You know, we were watching Barbarella and Star Wars. You know, I learned early on in my Bitcoin journey this concept that when money worked better, life was simpler. And, you know, I think there's technology has changed a lot of the way things are. But fundamentally, the way money works has drastically changed during the time I've been alive. And it is directly attributable to the way we think about being present with each other and spending our time and planning for the future. And so this idea that, you know, we wanted to have an experience for people that instead of, you know, feeling maybe future forward or, you know, like this is some technology product for the world of tomorrow, that this is actually something that should remind you of the way that things used to be. It should feel familiar. And so that's kind of like an explanation of, if you go to our website, you know, you see the same things that you see in the studio here. And we have some really cool creative ads that you'll see over the coming months that are evocative of the kind of, you know, Smokey the Bear summer camp poster, you know, thinking about, you know, these pastel images of a wilderness landscape and a Volkswagen van, and just being able to go out and live your life because you've solved the most important problem, which is how do you protect your hard-earned money from the ravages of inflation?
There's a lot of conversation about how things have shifted now to where people, in addition to having their regular job, feel like they've got to become financial or stock market experts. And you're right, it just takes so much time and energy that just distracts from living life and being with family and you know, in many cases, having multiple jobs in addition to trying to sort out your finances. So it would be a beautiful future to be thinking about, you know, how life can improve once you have that problem of you know, concern about your future finances resolved and just by giving the opportunity for more people to have that, which it makes me want to turn the conversation a little bit, Scott, to your book that you recently published. I know you've been the author of two books, one directly related to financial professionals. I think that was your first book, which is The World That You Came From. But your most recent book is The Tao of Bitcoin, which I'm a fan of the book,
so cool.
Which really talks about it from your branding perspective for Black Rewards, this new life that you can have, or an improved life that you can have when you have the financial concern eliminated or taken away or just resolved, and you feel more comfortable, and how that changes you as an individual. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective on this, which I find fascinating, and how you view Bitcoin can help change and improve society?
Yeah, for sure. And thanks for that question, and thank you again for reading the book. I'm flattered. You know, this idea of let me start here. People used to just save. Like, this actually predates how we're thinking about all of these different products and things we've been talking about in the conversation. You know, it's not normal, or it's not what it would have been for people to have 100% of the money that they have invested in the stock market. Like, the stock market is gambling, and you're gambling on management teams and sectors. And, you know, going back, most people didn't have access to investing. Like, it depends on how far we're going back. But, you know, our grandparents, like, you could actually just, saving was a strategy. And then, you know, what we sort of had to do was like the S&P 500 became a savings vehicle because it's the only thing that really mirrors the rate of currency debasement. And we basically fused saving and gambling and into a new thing. And that's what we do now. And this is one of those things that I think has, as a secondary effect, created this problem of life becoming a lot more complicated. Now we gamble on everything. You know, we turn, you know, we're all hoteliers. We're all turning our cars into taxis. Like, it's just like, it's like a really crazy abstraction of not being able to save. And, you know, I started conceptualizing some of the ideas that became the book. They were still rooted in what I've learned about money and investing throughout the course of my career, working with employers. And this idea that, like, you know, we're transforming when we're employed, we're transforming our energy and time into a financial tool so that hopefully in the future, when we want to consume that energy and time, we've stored it. Like, that's what the goal really is, right? And so the better we can do that, hopefully the less time and energy we have to put in as an input so that we can have it on the other side. And the money form that we use today is just a bad battery. It doesn't effectively store time or energy. And so we continually need to convert it back into something else faster and faster. Like, we have to spend it because we can't store it. And that also then creates all these other secondary effect problems. And one of those problems is distractedness. It creates a less time for everybody. And I feel like this idea, another way to think about this idea of like life was simpler when money worked better, was we really were spending more of our time in the present moment then. You know, like people, and these are, it's not only a money thing, because for example, like, you know, people used to only get news maybe once a day in the 80s, and now you get news as often as you want it, 80 times a day. But I do think that because money is such a pervasive source of anxiety, it is probably the single greatest thing that can, you know, force you to have a, you know, regrets about the past or a paralyzing anxiety about the future and prevent you from just enjoying the moments that you have right in front of you, which is really, I actually believe that most people don't really desire to be incredibly wealthy. What they want is the ability to feel like they have autonomy and the ability to protect the time that they have to spend so that they can live life in a way that they want, which is, you know, like for most people, it's with the people they love and doing the things that they enjoy, the things that give them the most fulfillment. And this is the thing that I think saving and hard money can really do, because when you understand that, you actually are also removing yourself from the gambling. And so it's a much simpler thing when you can move to that level of comfort. And if you've exited the gambling and the erosion of the entropy of money, with that comes a genuine peace of mind. Like we're reintroducing the concept of saving into, you know, the lexicon of financial thinking. Like, I think it's, people should think about Bitcoin as a wealth preservation tool. It's a savings tool. It's the apex tool for saving. And if you want to gamble, that's great. There's lots of other ways to gamble some of your wealth. But I actually also believe that given the choice, most people wouldn't gamble their money if they didn't think they had to. Because most people are pretty risk averse. Like, this is another thing I've learned in 20 years of helping people try to make decisions about this stuff. And so definitely nobody would have, you know, if you told people in the 90s that the average person today would have 100% of their investable portfolio in the stock market 100% of the time, like, that would seem crazy. And today it's totally normal.
I fully agree with you, Scott. I think most people ultimately, as a starting point, at least look for stability, right? I mean, just that strong foundation goes such a long ways. And to your point, I mean, people have been forced to look for alternatives. I mean, because there's no other option. I mean, even in developed countries, you know, even for the U.S. market, to use as an example, and the U.S. dollar, I mean, people just by default know, okay, I can't have my money just sitting in the bank because it's going to erode away, right? So it's completely forced society into this, you know, kind of other alternative wild, wild west of investing and gambling. And yeah, the effects of all of that are very deep. We'll, of course, have some links to the books and the other material in the show notes. But maybe going back to, I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, Scott, but I do want to make sure we touch a little bit on your journey as an entrepreneur with Block Rewards and building the company. You've had to fundraise, and we were speaking offline a little bit to your new approach to the next round that you're fundraising. Could you speak a little bit to how, as a startup, you've approached fundraising and what that next step looks like for you guys?
Yeah, as a first timer for me, I would, you know, I'm happy to share it. I think it's probably the most stressful part of it. And, you know, it's a thrilling time to be involved in helping build the Bitcoin world of tomorrow. And it's also, you know, with it come some challenges. We have to convince investors, many of them, you know, about the bigger idea that might not be as obvious for people who aren't as close to it. And for the people who do understand Bitcoin, you know, there are other challenges like treasury stocks or just owning Bitcoin. You know, like, why would I invest in this instead of just owning Bitcoin is a really, you know, can be a tricky question to answer. And fundraising has been, we closed our seed round, I don't want to say easily, but fairly quickly last year. And we've engaged in now what we hope to be our final round of funding to break even. And it's a larger number. So, but I'm optimistic because the story has gotten a lot better. And our business model has become a lot more mature, and we're doing something a little bit different to answer your question. And we wanted to offer something that sort of addressed the questions that we've received throughout the course of the seed round and created an instrument that had some appetite for a broader range of potential investors and VC groups. And we think this could become a very useful approach for early stage Bitcoin companies in the future. And we're excited to share it, like, you know, on the backside. But we're selling Bitcoin secured convertible debentures. And so they're three year notes that mature at a predetermined share price today. And so we didn't want to haggle about what we think the company's worth right now, which is kind of where some of these investment conversations can get really sticky. And we think that our numbers, our forecasts are very reasonable. And we're excited about having conversion conversations with our debenture investors in 3 years, where we think that the predetermined share prices will seem very attractive. So the Bitcoin security, we use with part of the investment proceeds, and it really offers three things. One is it's insurance against things going catastrophically wrong, which we obviously hope don't happen. But you know, I think investors always kind of want to understand, you know, what's my ultimate downside risk here, and how are you guys thinking about how that could be mitigated? Early stage companies, you know, there's a reason why not everybody turns into a unicorn, and often it's money. The second is that, as I mentioned, the debentures are a 3 year term. So at the end of 3 years, we need to expect that we hope everyone will convert to shares, but some investors may choose not to. And so how would you guarantee that you would have the liquidity to pay out an investor that decided not to convert? And, in this case, the facility also creates that, because the theoretical or assumed appreciation of the Bitcoin price during that time, we use the ARK base case as our model. We use a bunch of models to come up with how we're forecasting this, but, you know, it looks like at the end of 3 years, we should have 100% coverage, depending on, you know, assuming it'll be nonlinear, and we'll see exactly when, but that's the general idea. And the third piece is that, assuming the investors do convert to shares, then the Bitcoin converts to become our treasury. And so it's simultaneously creating a benefit to those investors as they're now seeding our corporate treasury and fortifying the long-term financial health of the company. And so it's a win-win-win scenario. We have a lot of really great feedback. It looks different. You know, it's an unorthodox way to approach this problem, you know, and really like I said, we have thought a lot about how do we solve this problem, because the different types of people who look at investing in a company like Block Rewards, and we've fielded all kinds of different questions, and we really wanted to be innovative and leverage the power of Bitcoin in a way that could create something different that would sort of limit out the downside risk and really create some exciting upside. So I think we've done that again, and that's full credit to Josh. Josh has raised money, a lot of money, with a number of different enterprises he's been involved with, and he was he's the architect behind how all that worked.
I'm fascinated by this, and I'm really excited. I mean, one of the things that Israel and I have found on this podcast journey of ours is just how Bitcoin founders think differently, and they think differently about the growth of their company. I think the investments they made make in almost every aspect of it, they think more carefully because the trade-off is Bitcoin. But then even on the funding rounds, I think a lot of the Bitcoin company founders really have in mind to have a long-term operating company that generates Bitcoin returns rather than a cash out through an IPO or a sale to another company. And so, you know, the investor side, you know, thinks differently about it. But I love this idea because it does also address the problem of, you know, investors sometimes don't want to make a longer term commitment. So by having a 3-year window, it gives the option of liquidity at that time. The Bitcoin appreciation story is great. And just like Michael Saylor has really remade thinking about issuing public equity, I think private companies and startups, this is the first example that I've heard so clearly where you're really re-engineering startup financing. And so congratulations on that. And I think Israel and I are going to want to dive deeper into this model and how you're doing it. But it just opens your mind up to what is possible when you have Bitcoin as a foundational financial instrument to how you think about funding and growth and acceleration, even repaying back your early investors to allow for the company to continue to grow.
Yeah, thanks. We're excited about it. And and again, for your listeners, if anyone wants to see it more closely, we'd be happy to chat with anyone who does.
Understanding qualified investor regulations and whatnot. Scott, what would be, I mean, when you're thinking about your journey going from traditional business into being a founder of a Bitcoin company, what would you advise other either people who are looking at joining a Bitcoin startup or company or founding one themselves? What advice would you give them? What do you think is kind of misunderstood about the difference in the Bitcoin ecosystem versus a traditional tech or startup ecosystem?
Maybe three things come to mind. One would be, personally, I believe that we are entering into this is the Jesse Myers visualization of Bitcoin becoming the foundational layer of ownership in the digital age. I think that we are living through this transition right now. And so this is the most exciting time to get involved with Bitcoin or build a Bitcoin business, because Bitcoin is going to force a reimagination of every financial process. I fully believe that. So two, I think, like, if you have an idea, and I love that, like, you can just do things phrase, and I think like that this is the time to be bold and take a stab at it, because if you don't, someone else will. And that this is also part of how I felt about Block Rewards. That to me, this is an absolutely necessary service to be provided in the employment market of tomorrow. And somebody else would have done it for sure. And they may still, but at least we have a head start. And people who are looking to work in Bitcoin, and this is so cool, we post our opportunities on all kinds of different, Indeed and LinkedIn and Bitcoiner jobs. And I think everybody we've hired that hasn't come from a personal referral has actually come from Bitcoiner jobs. And everybody that we get from there is are people who have made the same decision that maybe they don't want to start a company, but that they want to align their life and be working on a project that is, meets their values, and they want to be in the space. And so I think that probably every Bitcoin company would feel the same. Like, I think that, so if this is something people are looking to do, I would say, like, you know, keep a close watch on Bitcoiner jobs, and there could very well be an opportunity that comes up that ends up being perfect for you.
I don't want to say this is the perfect place to stop, because there's so many other fascinating topics in the conversation that we could have, you know, gone on about. But that being said, Scott, I mean, we do appreciate the time and, getting into everything you guys are working on. Personally, as I was mentioning earlier before we started recording, I love what you guys are doing. I think it's so important also to kind of meet people where they are, and this transition. I mean, sometimes we forget how early we still, I mean, I know it sounds a bit redundant, you know, we're early, but sometimes you do lose sight of just in the broader scheme of things. We're at the very, very, very initial stages of this, and being able to offer some friendly tools for employers to incorporate benefits and compensation in a better and harder savings technology is just so important. So all that to say, really applaud what you guys are working on. Where can people find you, learn more? Where do you want to send people?
Thanks. And thank you again for having me on. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you guys. And me too. I could talk about this stuff all day. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is a great place to catch me, and please give us a follow. We're active on LinkedIn as well. Blockrewards.ca is the website. Depending on when this airs, it could be blockrewards.com by the time that happens. But either way, we'll point you there shortly enough. We do have a podcast that I was mentioning as well, called the Block Reward Podcast, and it's another conversational. We get a different guest on every week. We try to keep it light. It's might not be the Bitcoin Cup podcast for the hardcore so much as, the podcast is mostly in mind for the kinds of the employees that might find it as a result of using our services. So we want to have interesting conversations about Bitcoin that aren't so daunting that you need to have read some of those books I listed at the start of the show to appreciate. And that's probably the best place to find me.
Scott, I have one question. You had mentioned one of the books early on was The Price of Tomorrow by Jeff Booth, who's one of our favorite guests that we've ever had on and favorite people in the world. As a fellow Canadian, and you both tend to think in this bigger viewpoint of Bitcoin as a transformative power of, going forward. Have you had a chance to connect and get to know him and meet with him?
You know, that's a really great question, Lynn, and I'd love to. I'm honored to answer that. Going back to the previous question you asked me about people who are thinking about founding a Bitcoin company. So truly, this all started with Jeff Booth's book about 5 years ago. And then I kind of went down the rabbit hole, and there were a handful of people that I got really interested in following, Greg Foss and James Lavish and Lawrence Lepard and Jeff. And, so I'm here now today, and Jeff's a friend. I have met Jeff many times. We had Jeff out to Kelowna for an event last fall, and meeting these people and then building relationships with them has been probably the coolest part about taking action and just moving towards making something happen. And so Jeff's incredible. He is absolutely everything he appears. You know, when you see him he's really like that. And so it's been an honor to meet him. And many of these other people are the same. And I think that the thing that I've learned the most about Bitcoin on my journey over these last few years is, how receptive people are. And if you're really, doing this for the right reasons, you're just continually met by people who are willing to help. So that could be just very early on. Like I had aspirations that the Block Reward was going to be this massive podcast. And I was shooting for the most famous guests from day one. I know mostly everybody said yes. Which is a very odd thing. You know, I don't think you could necessarily do that in other industries, but you're just, you know, and then I just started to get this feeling of like, oh, this is actually how it is. So it's been that way in every aspect of everything we've approached is, you know, does a potential company want to work, think about working with us? You know, other companies that are on the mission, other entrepreneurs. It's just a community of people who understand that we are birthing something of critical importance to humanity. And yeah, so it's so exciting to be a part of. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your journey with us so much, Scott, and look forward to continuing to follow Block Rewards and your journey and having you on in the future again. So again, thank you for your time.
Thank you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.